fingers. People are saying it'll be soon. Whatever you say. I open the cover. Ben's folded map is still inside, still where I stashed it. It don't even look like Davy bothered to open the book, not once in the whole time he had it. It smells a bit like stables, now that I know where it's been, but it's still the book, still her book. My ma. My ma's words. Look what's become of your son. Mayor Ledger sighs loudly. They're going to attack here, you know, he says. You'll have to let me out if that happens. Can't you keep quiet for 5 seconds? I turn to the first page. The first entry my ma wrote on the day I was born. A page full of words I once heard read out. Read out by no gun, no weapon. Mayor Ledger's standing now, looking out the windows again. I'm defenseless. I'll take care of you, I say. Now shut the hell up. I'm still not turned to him. I'm still looking at my ma's first words, the ones written in her hand. I know what they say, but I try to sound them out across the page. My. It's my. I take a deep breath. Which is dearest, which seems mostly right. My dearest. And the last word is son, which I know, having heard it so clearly today. I think about his outstretched hand. I think about when I took it. My dearest son. I've offered to read that for you, Mayor Ledger says, not able to hide his groan at the sound of my reading noise. I turn round to him, looking fierce. I said, shut up! He holds his hands up. Fine, fine, whatever you say. He sits back down and adds a last sarcastic word under his breath. Lieutenant. I sit up. Then I sit up higher. What did you say? Nothing. He won't meet my eye. I didn't tell you that, I say. I didn't say a word. It was in your noise. No, it wasn't. I'm getting to my feet now, 'cause I'm right. I ain't been thinking about nothing since I came in for dinner, except my ma's book. How did you know? He looks up at me, but there ain't no words coming out of his mouth, and his noise is scrambling for something to say, and it's failing. I take a step toward him. There's a kerthunk at the door, and Mr. Collins lets himself in. There's someone here for you, he says to me. Then he notices my noise. What's going on? I ain't expecting no one, I say, still staring at Mayor Ledger. It's a girl, Mr. Collins says. She says Davy sent her. Damn it, I say. I told him. Whatever, he says. Says she won't talk to no one but you. He chuckles. Pretty little piece, too. I turn at the tone of his voice. Leave her alone, whoever she is. That ain't right.
Best not take too long up here, then.
He's laughing as he shuts the door. I stare back at Mayor Ledger, my noise still high. I ain't through with you. It was in your noise, he says, but I'm already out the door and locking it behind me, kerthunk. I stomp my way down the stairs, thinking of ways to get the girl away without Mr. Collins bothering her, without her having to go through any of that for any reason. And my noise is boiling with suspicions and wonderings about Mayor Ledger, and things beginning to come clear when I get to the bottom of the steps. Mr. Collins is waiting, leaning against the wall of the lobby with his legs crossed, all relaxed and smiling. He points with his thumb. I look over. And there she is.
34. Last chance.
Leave us,
Todd says to the man who let me in, not looking away from me when he says it.
Told you she was a piece,
the man says, smirking as he disappears into a side office. Todd stands there staring.
It's you,
he says. But he isn't moving toward me. Todd, I say, and I take a step forward. and he takes a step back. I stop.
"Who's this?"
he says, looking at Lee, who's doing his best to act like a real soldier behind me. "That's Lee," I say. "A friend. He's come with me to..."
"What are you doing here?"
"I've come to get you," I say. "I've come to rescue you." I see him swallow. I see his throat working.
"Viola,"
he finally says. My name is all over his noise, too.
"Viola, Viola, Viola."
He puts his hands up to the sides of his head, grabbing his hair, which is longer and shaggier than when I saw it last. He looks taller, too.
"Viola,"
he says again. "It's me," I say, and I take another step forward. He doesn't step back, so I keep coming, crossing the lobby, not running, just getting closer and closer to him. But when I get to him, he steps back again. "Todd?" I ask.
"What are you doing here?"
"I've come for you." I feel my stomach sink a little. "I said I would."
"You said he wouldn't leave without me,"
he says, and in his noise I can hear loud irritation at how he sounds. He clears his throat.
"You left me here."
"They took me," I say. "I had no choice." His noise is getting louder now, and though I can feel happiness in it... Oh, Jesus, Todd. There's rage, too. "What have I done?" I say. "We need to go. The answer are going..."
"So you're part of the answer now,"
he snaps, bitterness suddenly rising.
"Part of those murderers."
"Are you a soldier now, then?" I say back, surprised, heat growing in my voice, too, pointing to the A on his sleeve.
"Don't talk to me about murder." "The answer killed the Spackle,"
he says, his voice low and angry, and the bodies of the Spackle in his noise. Piled high, one upon the other, tossed there like garbage. The A of the answer written on the wall, and Todd in the middle of it.
"They might as well have killed me along with them,"
he says. He closes his eyes.
"I am the circle, and the circle is me,"
I hear.
"Viola?"
Lee says from behind me. I turn. He's crossed half the lobby. "Wait outside," I say.
"Viola."
"Outside." He looks so concerned, so ready to fight for me, my heart skips a little. He broadcast as loud as he could that I was his prisoner on the way here. So loud other soldiers thought he was covering up for a rape he was going to commit, and whistled him good luck as we passed. Then we hid by the cathedral, seeing Davy Prentice riding away from here, thinking things I wouldn't want to see again, thinking about how a celebration was due to him and Todd. And so we pretended to be the celebration, and it worked. Kind of upsetting how easily it worked, frankly. Lee shifts from foot to foot.
"You call me if you need me."
"I will," I say. And he waits a second, then steps out the front door, keeping it open to watch us. Todd's eyes are still closed, and he repeats,
"I am the circle, and the circle is me."
Which I have to say sounds an awful lot like something from the mayor. "We didn't kill the Spackle," I say.
"We?"
he says, opening his eyes. "I don't know who did it, but it wasn't us."
"You sent a bomb to kill them the day you blew up the tower."
He's almost spitting the words.
"Then you came back on the day of the prison break and finished the job."
"Bomb?" I say. "What bomb?" But then I remember. The first explosion that made the soldiers run away from the communications tower. No, she wouldn't. No, not even her. "What kind of people do you think we are?" she said. But she never did answer the asking.
No,
No, it's not true, and besides... Who told you that? I say. Davy Prentice? He blinks. What? What do you mean, what? My voice is harder now. Your new best friend, the man who shot me, Todd, and who you ride to work with, laughing every morning. He clenches his hands into fists. You've been spying on me? He says. 3 months I don't see you. 3 months I don't hear nothing from you, and you've been spying? Is that what you're doing in your spare time when you're not blowing people up? Yeah, I yell, my voice getting louder to match his. 3 months of defending you to people who'd be only too happy to call you enemy, Todd. 3 months of wondering why the hell you're working so hard for the mayor and how he knew to go right for the ocean the day after we spoke. He winces, but I keep going, thrusting out my arm and pulling up the sleeve. 3 months wondering why you put these on women. His face changes in an instant. He actually calls out as if he felt the pain himself. He puts a hand over his mouth to stifle it, but his noise is suddenly washed with blackness. He moves the fingertips of his other hand within reach of the band, hovering over my skin, over the band that'll never be removed unless I lose my arm. The skin is still red, and band 1391 still throbs, despite the healing of 3 mistresses.
Oh, no, he says. Oh, no.
The side door opens, and the man who let me in leans out.
Everything all right out here, Lieutenant?
Lieutenant, I say.
We're fine.
Todd chokes a little.
We're fine.
The man waits for a second, then goes back inside. Lieutenant, I say again, lowering my voice. Todd's leaned down, his hands on his knees, staring at the floor.
It wasn't me, was it?
He says, his voice quiet, too.
I didn't...
He gestures again at the band without looking up.
I didn't do it without knowing it was you, did I?
No, I say, reading things in his noise, reading his numbness at them, reading all the horror that sits way down below that he's working so hard to ignore. The answer did it. He looks up fast, filled with asking marks. It was the only way I could come and find you safely, I say. The only way I could get past all the soldiers marching around town was if they thought I'd already been banded. His face changes again as this sinks in.
Oh, Viola.
I breathe out heavily. Todd, I say. Please come with me. His eyes are wet, but I can see him now. I can see him, finally. I can see him in his face and in his noise and in his arms as they drop to his sides in defeat.
It's too late,
he says, and his voice is so sad my own eyes start to wet.
I've been dead, Viola. I've been dead.
You haven't, I say, moving a bit closer to him. These are impossible times. He's looking down now, his eyes not focused on anything.
Feeling nothing,
his noise says.
Taking nothing in. I am the circle, and the circle is me.
Todd, I say, and I'm close enough to reach his hand. Todd, look at me. He looks up, and the loss in his noise is so great it feels like I'm standing on the edge of an abyss, that I'm about to fall down into him, into blackness so empty and lonely there'd never be a way out. Todd, I say again, a catch in my voice. On the ledge under the waterfall, do you remember what you said to me? Do you remember what you said to save me? He's shaking his head slowly.
I've done terrible things, Viola. Terrible things.
We all fall, you said. I'm gripping him hard now. We all fall, but that's not what matters. What matters is picking yourself up again. But he shakes me off. No, he says, turning away. No, it was easier when you weren't here. It was easier when you couldn't see.
Todd, I've come to save you.
No, I didn't have to think about nothing.
It's not too late.
It is too late,
he says, shaking his head.
It is.
And he's moving away. Away from me. I'm losing him. And I get an idea. A dangerous, dangerous idea. The attack's coming tomorrow at sundown, I say. He blinks again in surprise.
What?
That's when it happens. I swallow and step forward, trying to keep my voice steady. I'm only supposed to know the fake plan, but I found out the real one. The answer are coming over the hill with a notch in it just to the south of here. Just to the south of this cathedral, Todd. They're coming right here, and I'm sure they're coming right for the mayor. He looks nervously at the side door, but I'm keeping my voice down. There are only 200 of them, Todd, but they're fully armed with guns and bombs and a plan and a hell of a leader who isn't going to stop until she topples him. Viola, they're coming, I say, moving closer again. And now you know when and from where, and if that information gets to the mayor...
You shouldn't have told me,
he says, not meeting my eye.
I hide things, but he figures them out. You shouldn't have told me.
I keep moving forward. Then you have to come with me, don't you? You have to, or he wins forever and ever, and he'll be the one to rule this planet, and he'll be the one who greets the new settlers.
With his hand outstretched,
Todd says, his voice suddenly soft.
What?
But he just extends his hand out into the empty air, staring at it.
Greeting it with his son.
Well, we don't want that either. I look nervously round to the front door. Lee is sticking his head in, trying not to look too out of place, but there are soldiers marching by out front. We don't have much time. Todd's hand is still outstretched. I've done bad things, too, I say. I wish everything was different, but it isn't. There's only now and here, and you have to come with me if we have any chance of making this come out any good at all. He doesn't say anything, but his hand is still out, and he's looking at it. And so I move forward another step, and I take it in my own. We can save the world, I say, trying to smile. You and me. He looks into my eyes, searching, trying to read me, trying to see if I'm actually here, if it's actually true, if the things I say are real. He searches and he searches. But he doesn't find me. Oh, Todd.
Going somewhere?
Says a voice from across the room. A voice from a man holding a gun. It's a different man from the one who let us in. A man I've never seen before. Except once, in Todd's noise.
How did you get out?
Todd says, surprise rippling through him.
You wouldn't leave without this, would you?
He says. In his non-gun hand, he's got the journal of Todd's mother.
You give that to me,
Todd says. The man ignores him and waves his gun at Lee.
Come inside now, he says, or I will ever so happily shoot our dear friend Todd.
I look back. Lee's got flight all over his noise, but he sees the gun pointed at Todd, sees my face, and comes forward. His noise saying so loud that he won't leave me here that it almost distracts me from the gun.
Drop it,
the man says, referring to Lee's rifle. Lee sends it clattering to the floor.
You liar,
Todd says to the man.
You coward.
For the good of the town, Todd, the man says.
All that moaning,
Todd says, his voice and noise fiery.
All that bitching and moaning about how he's ruining everything and you're just another spy.
Not at first, the man says, walking toward us. At first I was just how you saw me, the former mayor, disgraced and left alive in all his inconvenience.
The man passes Todd and comes up to me, putting Todd's book under one arm.
Give me your pack.
What?
I say.
Give it to me.
He swings his arm back and points the gun right at Todd's head. I slide the pack off my shoulders and give it to him. He doesn't even open it the regular way, just feels along the bottom, feeling right for the secret pouch. The secret pouch where if you press right, you can feel my gun. The man smiles. "There it is," he says. "The answer don't change, do they?"
"You touch a hair on her head," Todd says, "and I'll kill you."
"So will I," Lee says. The man keeps smiling. "I think you have a competitor, Todd."
"Who are you?" I say, annoyance at all this protection making me brave.
"Con Ledger, Mayor of Haven, at your service, Viola." He gives a little bow. "Since that's who you must be, isn't it?" He walks around Todd. "Oh, the President was very interested in the noise of your dreams, my boy. Very interested in what you thought about while you were sleeping. About how much you miss your Viola. How you would do anything to find her." I see Todd's face starting to glow red. "And suddenly he became far more agreeable to me, asking me to pass along certain information to you, see if we could get you to do what he wanted." Mayor Ledger looks ridiculous, all the things he's carrying, a gun in one hand, pack in the other, book under his arm and still trying to appear threatening. "I must say it worked like a charm." He winks at me. "Now that I know when and where the answer are going to attack." Lee's noise rises and he takes a furious step forward. Mayor Ledger cocks the pistol. Lee stops. "Like it?" asks the mayor. "The president gave it to me when he gave me my own key." He smiles again. Then sees how we're all looking at him. "Oh, stop it," he says. "If the president defeats the answer, then all this will be over. All the bombings, all the restrictions, all the curfews." His smile's a bit weaker now. "You have to learn how to work within the system for change. When I'm his deputy, I'll work very hard to make things better for everyone." He nods at me. "Women, too."
"You'd better shoot me,"
Todd says. Noise coming off him like flame.
"'Cause there ain't no way your life is safe if you ever put down that gun."
Mayor Ledger sighs. "I'm not going to shoot anyone, Todd. Not unless—" The side door suddenly opens, and the man who let me in steps out, surprise lighting up his face and noise.
"What are you—"
Mayor Ledger points the gun at him and pulls the trigger three times. The man falls back into the doorway and all the way to the floor until only his feet are sticking out. We all stand there, shocked. Echoes of gunfire still ringing off the marble floors. There's a clear picture in Mayor Ledger's noise, of himself with a black eye and split lip, of the man on the floor giving him the beating. He looks back at us, sees us staring at him.
"What?"
"Mayor Prentice ain't gonna like that,"
Todd says.
"He knows Mr. Collins from old Prentice Town."
"I'm sure the prize of Viola and the answer's attack will make up for any other misunderstandings."
Mayor Ledger's looking around now, trying to find a place to free up his hands. He finally just tosses the book to Todd, as if he doesn't want it anymore. Todd fumbles it in his hands, but catches it.
"Your mother wasn't much of a writer, Todd," Mayor Ledger says, bending forward and zipping open the pack with his free hand. "Barely literate."
"You're going to pay for that."
Todd looks back at me and I realize I'm the one who said it out loud. Mayor Ledger digs around in my bag.
"Food,"
he says, his face lighting up. He takes out a crested pine from the top and immediately shoves it in his mouth. He digs some more, finding bread and more fruit, taking bites of almost everything.
"How long were you planning on staying?"
he asks, his mouth full. I see Todd starting to edge forward.
"It's not like I can't hear you,"
Mayor Ledger says, waving the gun again, digging down to the bottom of the bag. He stops, his hand deep inside, and looks up.
"What's this?"
He feels around a little more and starts to drag something larger out of the pack. At first, I assume it's the gun, but then he shakes it free of the bag. He stands up and looks curiously at the Thrace bomb in his hand. There's a second where it can't be true. There's a second where my eyes can't be seeing what they're seeing, not believing that I know what a bomb looks like by now. There's a moment where it's in his hand, but it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything at all. But then Lee gasps beside me, and it all makes sense. It all makes the worst goddamn sense I can even think of.
No,
I say. Todd spins around.
What? What is it?
Time slows down to nothing. Mayor Ledger turns it over in his hand and a beeping starts. A fast beeping. A beeping obviously set to go whenever anyone searched through my bag and picked it up. The pulse in his hand setting it off. A bomb you know is going to kill you if you let go of it. This isn't, says Mayor Ledger, looking up. But Lee is already reaching for my arm, trying to grab it so we can bolt for the front door.
Run!
He's yelling. But I'm jumping forward, not back, and I'm pushing Todd sideways, stumbling toward the room where the dead man fell. Mayor Ledger isn't trying to shoot us, isn't doing anything, he's just standing there, realization dawning, and as we're falling through the doorway and rolling over the dead man and curling into each other for protection, Mayor Ledger tries to throw the bomb away from himself, releasing it from his hand, and boom! It blasts him into 1,000 pieces, tearing out the walls behind him and most of the room we're falling into, and the heat from the explosion singes our clothes and our hair, and rubble comes tumbling down, and we force ourselves under a table, but something hits Todd hard in the back of the head, and a long beam falls across my ankles, and I feel both of them break, and all I can think as I yell out at the impossible pain is, she betrayed me, she betrayed me, she betrayed me, and it wasn't a mission to save Todd, it was a mission to kill him, and the mayor too, if she was lucky, she betrayed me again. And then there's darkness. Sometime later, there are voices. Voices in the dust and rubble. Voices drifting into my pain-addled head. One voice. His voice. Standing over me.
Well, well, says the mayor. Look who we have here.
Part 6. The Ask and the Answer. 35. Viola is asked.
Let her go!
I pound my fist on the glass, but no matter how hard I hit it, it ain't breaking.
Let her go!
My voice is cracking from the strain, but I'll go and go till it gives out completely.
You lay a finger on her! I'll kill you!
Viola is strapped to the frame in the arena of the Ask. Her arms back and up, the skin around the metal band burning red, her head twixt the little buzzing rods that keep her from hearing noise. The tub of water is below her, the table of sharp tools to her side. Mr. Hammer stands there waiting, arms crossed, and Davy, too, watching nervously from the far door across the room. And the mayor is there, calmly walking round her in a circle. All I remember is the boom and Mayor Ledger disappearing in a fury of fire and smoke. I woke up here, my head aching, my body filthy from dirt and rubble and dried blood, and I got to my feet, and there she was, beyond the glass, being asked. I pressed the button again for the speaker in the room.
Let her go!
But no one acts like they can hear me at all. I do this with the greatest reluctance, Viola, says the mayor, still walking in his slow circle. I can hear him perfectly clear. I thought we might be friends, you and I. I thought we had an understanding. He stops in front of her. But then you blew up my home.
I didn't know there was a bomb,
she says, and I can see the pain across her face. There's dried blood all over her, too, cuts and scratches from the explosion. But it's her feet that look the worst. Her shoes are off, and her ankles are swollen and twisted and black, and I just know the mayor ain't giving her nothing for the pain. I can see it on her face, see how much she's hurting. I try to pull up the bench behind me so I can smash it through the window, but it's bolted into the concrete. I believe you, Viola, says the mayor, restarting his walk. Mr. Hammer stands there, smirking, watching it all, once in a while looking up to the mirror where he knows I'm standing, and smirking some more. I believe your dismay at your betrayal by Mistress Coyle, though you can hardly be surprised. Viola don't say nothing, just hangs her head.
Don't hurt her,
I whisper.
Please, please, please.
If it helps, says the mayor. I'm not entirely sure I would take it personally. Mistress Coyle saw a way to get a bomb right into the heart of my cathedral, destroying it, perhaps destroying me in the process. He glances up to me at the mirror. I pound my fists on it again. There's no way they can't hear that. But he ignores me. Davy looks over, though, his face as serious as I've seen it. And even from here, I can hear the worry in his noise. You presented her with an opportunity she couldn't pass up, the mayor continues. Your extreme loyalty to Todd might actually get you inside where any other bomber might not. She probably didn't wish to kill you, but there it was, a chance to take me down, and weighed up against that, you were finally expendable. And I'm looking at her face. It's pulled down, sad. Pulled down so sad and defeated. And I feel her silence again. Feel the yearning and the loss that I first felt out in the swamp a lifetime ago. I feel it so much my eyes get wet and my stomach tightens and my throat clenches.
Viola, I say, please, Viola.
But she don't even look up. And so if that's all you mean to her, Viola, the mayor's leaning down in front of her now, looking into her face, then maybe you finally know who your real enemy is. He pauses. And who your real friends are. Viola says something real quiet. What was that? The mayor asks. She clears her throat and says it again.
I only came for Todd.
I know. The mayor stands again and starts his walk. I've grown fond of Todd, too. He's become like a second son to me. He looks over at Davy, whose face flushes. Loyal and hard-working, and truly making a contribution to the future of this town. I start pounding my fists again.
You shut up!
I scream.
You shut up!
If he's with us, Viola, the mayor says, and your mistress is against you, then surely your path is clear. But she's already shaking her head.
I won't tell you, she says. I won't tell you anything.
But she betrayed you. The mayor comes round to her front again. She tried to kill you. And at that, Viola lifts her head. She looks him right in the eye and says, No. She tried to kill you. Oh, good girl. My noise swells with pride. That's my girl. The mayor gives a signal to Mr. Hammer, who takes hold of the frame and plunges her into the water.
No!
I scream and start pounding again.
No, goddammit!
I go to the door of the little room and start kicking at it as hard as I can.
Viola! Viola!
I hear a gasp and run back to the mirror. She's up out of the water, coughing up liquid and spitting hard. We're running short on time, the mayor says, picking a speck of lint off his coat, so perhaps we should come right to it. I'm still pounding on the mirror and shouting while he talks. He turns and looks over to me. He can't see me from his side, but his eyes lock right on mine.
Viola!
I scream and pound the glass again. He's frowning a little.
Viola!
And he strikes me with his noise. It's way stronger than before. Like a shout of a million people right in the middle of my brain. So far inside I can't reach it to protect myself. And they're screaming, You're nothing! You're nothing! You're nothing! And it feels like my blood is boiling and my eyes are popping out of my skull and I can't even stand and I stagger back from the mirror and sit down hard on the bench, the slap ringing and ringing and ringing like it ain't never gonna stop. When I can open my eyes again, I see the mayor stopping Davy from leaving the arena and then Davy looking back toward the mirror. And in his noise, he's worried. Worried about me. Tell me when the answer is going to attack, the mayor says to Viola, his voice colder now, harder. And from where? She shakes her head, sending water drops flying.
I won't.
You will, says the mayor. I truly am afraid you will.
No,
she says.
Never.
And she's still shaking her head. The mayor glances up to the mirror, finding my eye again, though he can't see me. Unfortunately, he says, we don't have time for your refusals. He nods at Mr. Hammer, who plunges her into the water again.
Stop!
I shout and pound.
Stop it!
He holds her there, and holds her there. I pound so hard my hands are bruising.
Let her up! Let her up! Let her up!
And she's thrashing in the water, but he's still holding her there. She's still underwater.
Viola!
Her hands are pulling hard against their binds. The water is splashing everywhere with her struggling against it. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Viola, 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 Viola!
I can't, no! Forgive me. Please forgive me. It's tonight!
I shout.
At sunset! Over the notch in the hills south of the cathedral! Tonight!
And I'm pressing the button as I shout it again and again.
Tonight!
As she struggles under the water. But no one looks like they hear me. He's turned the sound off. He's turned the effing sound off. I go back to the window and pound. But no one's moving. And still she's underwater. No matter how hard I slam my fist against the glass. Why ain't it breaking? Why ain't it ruddy breaking? The mayor gives a signal and Mr. Hammer lifts up the frame. Viola swallows air in huge, raking gulps, her hair, longer than I remember, stuck against her face, twisting in her ears, the water falling off her in great ropes. You're in control here, Viola, the mayor says. Just tell me when the answer are attacking, and this will all stop.
Tonight!
I scream so loud my voice is cracking like dried mud.
From the south!
But she's shaking her head. And no one can hear me. But she betrayed you, Viola. The mayor's making his voice do that fake surprised thing. Why save her? Why? He stops, as if realizing something. You have people you care about in the end, sir. She stops shaking her head. She don't look up, but she stops shaking her head. The mayor kneels down in front of her. All the more reason to tell me. All the more reason to let me know where I can find your mistress. He reaches forward and pulls a few wet strands of hair away from Viola's face. If you help me, I guarantee they won't be harmed. I only want Mistress Coyle. Any other mistresses can remain in prison, and everyone else, innocent victims of inflamed rhetoric, no doubt, can be released once we've had a chance to talk to them. He gestures for Mr. Hammer to hand him a towel, which he uses to wipe Viola's face. She still don't look at him. If you tell me, you'd be saving lives, he says, gently sponging away the loose water. You have my word on that. She finally raises her head. Your word, she says, looking right past him at Mr. Hammer. And her face is so angry, even he looks surprised. Ah, yes, the mayor says, standing. He hands the towel back to Mr. Hammer. You should look upon Captain Hammer as an example of my mercy, Viola. I spared his life. He's walking again, but when he passes behind her, he looks over to me. Just as I shall spare the lives of your friends and loved ones.
It's tonight,
I say, but my voice is a rasp. How can he not hear me? Then again, he's saying, if you don't know, perhaps your good friend Lee will tell us. Her head goes right up, eyes wide, breath heavy. I don't know how he could have survived the explosion.
He doesn't know anything,
she says quickly.
He doesn't know when or where.
Even if I believed that, the mayor says, I'm sure we would have to ask him long and hard before we could possibly be sure.
Leave him alone,
Viola says, trying to turn her head to follow him. The mayor stops just in front of the mirror, his back to Viola, his face to me. Or perhaps we should just ask Todd. I pound the glass right at his face. He don't even flinch. And then she says, Todd would never tell you. Never. And the mayor just looks at me. And he smiles. My stomach sinks. My heart drops. My head feels so light, I feel like I'm going to drop right to the ground. Oh, Viola. Viola, please, forgive me. Captain Hammer, the mayor says, and Viola's plunged into the water again, unable to not scream out in fright as down she goes.
No!
I shout, pressing myself against the mirror, but the mayor ain't even looking at her. He's looking right at me, as if he could see me even if I was behind a brick wall.
Stop it!
I shout as she's thrashing again, and more, and more.
Viola!
And I'm pounding even though I think my hands are breaking, and Mr. Hammer is grinning and holding her there.
Viola!
And her wrists are starting to bleed from where she's pulling.
I'll kill you!
I'm shouting into the mayor's face with all my noise.
I'll kill you!
And still holding her there.
Viola! Viola!
But it's Davy, of all people. It's Davy who stops it. Let her up! He suddenly shouts, striding forward from his corner. Jesus, you're gonna kill her! And he's grabbing the frame and lifting it out of the water. And the mayor gives Mr. Hammer a sign to let him. And Davy gets Viola back up and out, her throat roaring from taking in the air and coughing it right back out again with all the water. No one says nothing for a minute. The mayor just staring at his son like he was some new kind of fish. How can she help us if she's dead? Davy says, his voice wobbly, his eyes not meeting no one's.
Is all I meant.
The mayor stays quiet. Davy backs away from the frame and returns to his spot near the door. Viola coughs and hangs from her bindings, and I'm pressed so close against the window it's like I'm trying to crawl through it to get to her. Well, the mayor says, clasping his hands behind his back, looking at Davy. I think perhaps we've learned what we need to know anyway. He walks over to a button on the wall and presses it. Would you please repeat what you said earlier, Todd? Viola looks up at the sound of my name. The mayor walks back over to the frame, lifting up the little noise-baffling rods from the sides of her face, and she looks all around as she can suddenly hear my noise.
Todd,
she says,
are you there? I'm here,
I yell, my voice now booming through the arena so everyone can hear me. Please, tell us again what you said a few moments ago, Todd. The mayor's looking at me again. Something about tonight at sunset? Viola looks up to where the mayor's looking, surprise on her face, surprise and shock.
No,
she whispers, and it's as loud as any shouting. Viola deserves to hear you say it again, Todd, the mayor says.
He knew. He could hear my noise the whole time. Course he could. He could hear my shouting, even if she couldn't. Viola,
I say, and it sounds like I'm begging. And she looks into the mirror, searching for where I might be.
Don't tell him,
she says.
Please, Todd, don't.
One more time, Todd, the mayor says, putting his hand on the drowning frame. Or she goes back into the water.
Todd, no!
Viola shouts.
You bastard!
I yell.
I'll kill you! I swear it, I'll kill you!
You won't, he says. And we both know it.
Todd, please, no!
Say it, Todd. Where and when? And he starts lowering the frame. Viola's trying to look brave, but her body is curling and twisting, trying to keep any part of it out of the water.
No!
She's yelling.
No! Please, please, please. No! Viola, tonight, at sunset, I say, my voice amplified over her shouts, over Davy's noise, over my own noise, just my voice filling everything. Over the notch in the valley, south of the cathedral. No! Viola screams. And the look on her face, the look on her face about me, and my chest tears right in two. The mayor pulls back the frame, lifting her away from the water and setting her back down. No, she whispers. And it's only then that she actually starts to cry. Thank you, Todd, the mayor says. He turns to Mr. Hammer. You know where and when, Captain. Pass on the orders to Captains Morgan, Tate, and O'Hare. Mr. Hammer stands to attention. Yes, sir, he says, sounding like he's just won a prize. I'll take every single man, sir. They won't know what hit 'em. Take my son, the mayor says, nodding at Davy. Let him see all the battle he can stomach. Davy's looking nervous, but proud and excited, too, not noticing the odd twist Mr. Hammer's smile has taken. Go, the mayor says, and leave none alive. Yes, sir, Mr. Hammer says, as Viola lets out a little sob. Davy snaps a salute at his father, trying to make his noise look brave. He sends the mirror a look meant for me, a look of sympathy, his noise full of fear and excitement and more fear. Then he's following Mr. Hammer out the door. And then there's just me, Viola, and the mayor. I can only look at her, hanging from the frame, her head down, crying, still tied up and soaking wet, and so much sorrow coming from her I can practically feel it on my skin. Tend to your friend, the mayor says to me, just on the other side of the glass again, his face close to mine. I return to my burned-out home to prepare for the new dawn. He don't even blink. Don't even act like nothing's even happened. He ain't human. All too human, Todd, he says. The guards will escort both of you to the cathedral. He raises his eyebrows. We have much to discuss about your futures.
36. Defeat. I hear Todd come into the room. I hear his noise come first, but I can't look up. Viola, he says. I still don't look up. It's over. We've lost. I feel his hands on the binds at my wrists, pulling at them, finally getting one free, but my arm is so stiff from being held back, it hurts more when it's released than it did when it was bound. Mayor Prentice has won. Mistress Coyle tried to sacrifice me. Lee's a prisoner, if that wasn't a lie and he's not already dead. Maddie died for nothing. Corinne died for nothing. And Todd. He comes around in front of me to take off the second bind, and when it's loose and I fall from the frame, he catches me, kneeling us gently down to the floor. Viola, he says, holding me against himself. My head against his chest, the water on me soaking into his dusty uniform, my arms out, not able to grab anything, the metal band throbbing. And I glance up to see the shiny silver A on his shoulder. Let me go, I say. But he still holds me there. Let me go, I say, louder. No, he says. I try to push him away, but my arms are so weak, and I'm so tired, and everything is over. Everything is over. And still he holds me. And I start to cry again, and I feel him hold me tighter, and I cry harder, and when my arms can move a little, I put them around him and cry even harder because of how he feels, and how he smells, and how his noise sounds, and how he's holding me, and his worry, and his fretting, and his care, and his softness. And I didn't know until just now how much I missed him. But he told the mayor. He told him. And I have to try to push him away again, even though I can hardly bear to do it. He told him, I say, choking it out. I'm sorry, he says, his eyes wide and terrified. He was drowning you, and I just couldn't... And I look at him, and there I am in his noise, dropping down into the water with him pounding on the other side of the mirror, and worse, I can see what he felt, see the hopeless rage of it, see him unable to save me. And his face is so worried. Viola, please, he says, begging me. Please. He'll kill them, I say. Every one of them. Wilf is there, Todd. Wilf. He looks horrified. Wilf? And Jane, I say. And so many others, Todd, all of them. He'll slaughter them and that'll be the end. That'll be the end of everything. His noise goes black and barren and he sort of crumples down next to me, splashing in the little puddle that's formed around us.
No,
he says.
Oh, no.
I don't want to say it, but I hear my voice saying it anyway. You did exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly how to get it out of you. He looks at me.
What choice did I have?
You should have let him kill me. And he's looking at me, and I can see his noise trying to find me, trying to find the real Viola that's deep down in this mess and pain. I can see him looking. And for a minute, I don't want him to find me. You should have let him kill me, I say again quietly. But he couldn't, could he? He couldn't and still be himself. He couldn't and still be Todd Hewitt, the boy who can't kill, the man who can't. We are the choices we make. We have to warn them, I say, feeling ashamed and not looking into his eyes. If we can. I grab the edge of the tub of water to pull myself up. Pain shoots up my legs from my ankles. I call out and fall forward again. And once more he catches me. My feet, I say. We look at them, bare and swollen badly, turning ugly shades of blue and black.
We'll get you to a healer.
He puts an arm around me to lift me. No, I say, stopping him. We have to warn the answer. That's the most important thing.
Viola.
Their lives are more important than my...
She tried to kill you, Viola. She tried to blow you up.
I'm breathing hard, trying not to feel the pain from my legs.
You don't owe her nothing,
he says. But I feel his arms on me, and I'm realizing things don't seem so impossible anymore. I feel Todd touching me, and there's anger rising in my gut, but it's not at him. And I grunt, and I pull myself up again, leaning on him to keep me there as I stand. I do owe her, I say. I owe her the look on her face when she sees me alive. I try to take a small step, but it's too much. I cry out again.
I have a horse,
he says.
I can put you on her.
He's not just going to let us leave, I say. He said guards would escort us back to him.
Yeah,
he says.
We'll see about that.
He puts his arm tighter around me and leans down to put his other arm under my knees. And he lifts me in the air. The pull on my ankles makes me cry out again, but then he's holding me up, carrying me like he did down the hillside into Haven. Holding me up. He remembers it too, I can see it in his noise. I put my arm around his neck. He tries to smile. And it's crooked like it always is.
We just keep on having to save each other,
he says.
We ever gonna be even?
I hope not, I say. He frowns again and I see the clouds roiling in his noise.
I'm sorry,
he says quietly. I grab the cloth of his shirt front and squeeze it tight. I'm sorry, too.
So we forgive each other?
The crooked smile climbs up one more time.
Again?
And I look right into his eyes. Right into him as far as I can see, because I want him to hear me. I want him to hear me with everything I mean and feel and say. Always, I say to him. Every time. He carries me to a chair and then goes over to the door and starts pounding on it.
Let us out!
He shouts. This does mean something, Todd, I say, taking as little breath as possible because my feet are throbbing. Something we have to remember.
What's that?
He pounds on the door again and says, ow, quietly at how it's hurting his hands. The mayor knows I'm your weakness, I say. All he has to do is threaten me and you'll do what he wants.
Yeah,
Todd says, not looking back.
Yeah, I knew that already.
He'll keep trying it. He turns around to face me, fists clenched at his sides.
He won't be laying his eyes on you. Not never again.
No. I shake my head and wince at the pain. It can't be that way, Todd. He has to be stopped.
Well, why does it have to be us that stops him?
It's gotta be somebody. I arch my back a certain way to keep any weight off my feet. He can't win. Todd starts kicking at the door.
Then let your mistress do it. We'll get to her somehow, warn him if we can, and then we're out of here.
Out of here where?
I don't know.
He starts looking around for something that might knock down the door.
We'll go to one of the abandoned settlements. We'll hide out till your ships get here.
He'll beat Mistress Coyle and then he'll go right for the ships. I gasp a little as I turn my head to follow him. There's only a small number of people awake when they land, Todd. He can overpower them and keep everyone else asleep as long as he wants. He doesn't ever have to wake them up if he doesn't want to. He stops his search.
Is that true?
I nod. Once he destroys the answer, who's left to stop him? He clenches and unclenches his fists again.
We have to do it.
We find the answer first, I say, trying to pull myself upright. We warn them.
And tell them exactly what kind of leader they got.
I sigh. We're going to have to stop both of them, aren't we?
Well, that's easy, ain't it?
Todd says.
We tell the answer all about your mistress, and then someone new will lead them.
He looks at me.
Maybe you.
Maybe you. I take a minute to try and catch my breath. It's getting harder. Either way, we have to get out of here. And then the door suddenly opens. A soldier stands there with a rifle.
I have orders to take you both to the cathedral,
he says. And I think I recognize him.
Ivan,
Todd says.
Lieutenant.
Ivan nods.
I've got my orders.
You're from Far Branch, I say. But he's staring at Todd, not blinking. I can hear something in his noise, something...
Lieutenant,
he says again in a way that seems like some kind of signal. I look at Todd. What's he doing?
You have orders,
Todd says, concentrating on Ivan. I can hear stuff flying between their noises, fast and blurry.
Private, Pharaoh.
Yes, sir,
Ivan says, standing at attention.
Orders from my superior officer.
Todd looks at me. I can hear him thinking. What's going on? I say. I see Lee rise in Todd's noise. He turns back to Ivan.
Is there another prisoner? A boy? Blonde, shaggy hair?
There is, sir.
Ivan says.
And if I ordered you to take me to him, you'd do it?
You are my superior officer, Lieutenant.
Ivan's looking harder at Todd now.
I'd have to follow any orders you gave me.
Todd? I say, but I'm beginning to understand.
I've been a-trying to tell you this for some time, Lieutenant.
Ivan says, impatience in his voice.
Are there any higher-ranking officers on the premises than me?
Todd asks.
No, sir. Just myself and the guards. Everyone else has gone off to fight the war.
How many guards?
16 of us, sir.
Todd licks his lips, thinking.
Would they regard me as their superior officer too, Private?
Ivan looks away for the first time, glancing quickly behind him before saying again in a lower voice,
There is some concern with our current leadership, sir. They might be persuaded.
Todd stands up straighter, pulling at the hem of his uniform jacket. I notice again how tall he is, how much taller than the last time I saw him, how his face is lined in a way that's not at all boyish, how his voice is deeper and fuller. I look at him, and I begin to see a man. He clears his throat and stands at attention before Ivan.
Then I order you to take me to the prisoner called Lee, Private.
Even though I have been instructed to take you straight to the president,
Ivan says in an official voice,
I feel I cannot disobey your direct order, sir.
He steps back out of the door to wait. Todd comes to my chair and kneels down in front of me. What are you planning? I ask, trying to read his noise, but it's spinning so fast I can hardly keep up with it.
You said it's us who has to stop him, 'cause no one else will,
he says, the crooked smile inching higher.
Well, maybe there's a way we can.
37. The Lieutenant. I feel Viola watching me as I leave and follow Ivan down the hallway. She's wondering whether we can trust him. I wonder it, too. 'Cause the answer's no, ain't it? Ivan joined the army as a volunteer, saving his own skin in Far Branch. And I remember him slinking up to me all those months ago, even before it happened, and telling me he was on the side of Prentice Town. He probably couldn't wait to join the army when it marched into town, and then he led troops here and was even a corporal. Till Mayor Prentice shot him in the leg. You go where the power is, he said to me once. That's how you stay alive. So maybe he thinks he's found the new power. Exactly what I'm a-thinking, sir, Ivan says, stopping outside a door. He's in here. Can he walk? I say as Ivan unlocks the door, but Lee's already jumping out with an Ah! And knocking Ivan over and punching him again and again in the face, and I have to grab his shoulders and pull him back, and he turns to me, fists ready, till he sees who it is. Todd? He says, surprised. We need, I start, where is she? He shouts, already looking round, and I have to step forward to keep Ivan from smashing the back of his head with a rifle. She's hurt, I say. She needs bandages and splints. I turn to Ivan. You got those here? We got a first aid kit, Ivan says. That'll do. Give it to Lee, and he'll take care of Viola. Then tell the men I want to talk to him out front. Ivan's glaring at Lee, noise blaring. That's an order, Private, I say. Yes, sir, Ivan says, all sour, before he disappears down the hallway. Lee goggles at me. Yes, sir? Viola'll explain. I push him after Ivan. You get those bandages on her. She's hurting. That gets him moving. I turn about face and go toward the lobby. Two guards watch me walk past. What's going on? One of them asks. What's going on, sir? I snap without turning round.